We're going to start a series of sermons on the book of Jeremiah, and we read this morning Jeremiah chapter 1, the verses 1 to 19. Jeremiah chapter 1, the verses 1 to 19, and it's on page 798 of the Pew Bibles. Jeremiah chapter 1, and we read from God's infallible words. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the fifth month. The call of Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth,' for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" And I said, "I see an almond branch." Then the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." The word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see a boiling pot facing away from the north." Then the Lord said to me, "Out of the north disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord, and they shall come, and everyone shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will declare my judgments against them for all their evil in forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. But you, dress yourself for work. Arise, and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you." So far, the reading from God's words. Called by God is the title of the sermon this morning. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, I'm sure that the experience that Jeremiah had this morning, we've all had to some extent. I'm sure that many of us have been requested in our previous past to do something that we were very uncomfortable with. Or somebody may have laid a responsibility on us for which we were ill-equipped. Or we were requested to fill a position for which we had no experience. And if you can remember how you felt, anxious, not knowing what to do, how you were going to cope with the circumstances, am I going to fail, etc.? Those were real thoughts that filled your mind. You know, it was going to be fairly difficult, probably unpopular what you had to do, and you may not win many friends through what you had to do. But yet, you knew you had to do it. There was no choice about it. There was no way out. You were compelled to do it. If you've been like this, or you've been approached like this, or you had this experience, then you will understand a little bit, just a little bit, of what the prophet Jeremiah felt when God called him. When he wrote these words, he introduced his experience and the words of God for us. He recorded for us in the longest book in the Bible exactly his experiences and his responses and his feelings towards his role as a prophet. But more important, he also recorded God's own words for us. Those were the words that were going to sustain him for a work and a life of prophecy that spanned 50 years. Through his book, we will also know more about his personal life, his struggle. We're going to learn more about him as a prophet than any other prophet in the Old Testament. He has given us a rich and full account of his trials, his conversations with God, and of the future. The opening verses tells us his name, Jeremiah, a very, very common name in the Old Testament times. He was the son of Hilkiah, a priest, and they lived in a small village, Anathoth, about 5 kilometers northeast of Jerusalem. He lived and prophesied in the time when the kingdom of Judea was declining. His prophecies covered 5 kings, of which only 3 is mentioned, because the other 2 kings only lasted 3 months. He began his calling as the prophet in the 13th year of Josiah, the year 627 BC. He stopped preaching the fall of Jerusalem in 587 BC. A long time for somebody to be in the ministry, a long time for somebody to be alone, preaching against the nations of their time. What kept him going, brothers and sisters, is he knew he was appointed by God. This is the first point that we would like to consider today. Jeremiah was appointed sovereignly out of God's choice. Jeremiah did not put up his hand and say, "Lord, choose me to be a prophet." No, Jeremiah records for us the words, "The word of the Lord came to me." Of course, this was not Jeremiah's first experience of God. He was, after all, a member of Israel, of the tribe of Levi. He's grown up in a believing home. His father was a priest. He knew about the law and the prophets. He has been influenced by the church of the time for many, many years. The Lord used people and circumstances in Israel to prepare him for the moment of being called to be a prophet. Think about your own life and my life. Isn't it exactly the same? Many of us have grown up in Christian homes, or many of us have been exposed to Christian families. We have lived and enjoyed the privileges of church. No doubt that all of us have been influenced by various people for exactly the same purpose, to be useful in the kingdom of God. The Lord has a plan and a purpose with you. The Lord has a plan and purpose with everybody. And the Lord will prepare our way for us. In verse 5, the Lord opens up for us a wonderful verse. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Brothers and sisters, 4 verbs in one sentence, effectively. I formed you, said the Lord. I knew you, I appointed you, and I knew you. Brothers and sisters, did Jeremiah play any role? When the Lord said, I formed you, God made him in his mother's womb. Yes, he was conceived by his father and born of his mother, but it was God who formed him, who created him. And it was God who creates every new life every day. Exactly the reason why we have to fight hard to protect the life of each child, including the life of the unborn. Compare that to Psalm 139:13, Isaiah 25:43-45, etc. I knew you, God said secondly, and the word has a sense of huge, intimate knowledge. God knew this man, and he knows us through and through. Psalmist sings of that in Psalm 103:14, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. 1 Corinthians 2:11, for who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person? The third statement in that is in that sentence, I set you apart, God said. God had a special job for this man, and he had this in mind before he was even born. As he had for the Apostle Paul, as he had for Moses, Joseph, David, for you and for me. God is sovereign and all-knowing. Even before we are born, God chose us before the foundation of the world. He knows what he wants us to do. He knows what is planned for our lives, and the Lord will bring it to fruition. But the Lord also declares, I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. What a task. Think about it. What a big job the Lord gave Jeremiah. I don't know about your circumstances, but certainly in my life, I've never faced such a job. Not only did Jeremiah have to go and speak disaster and doom to his own people, but also to the Assyrian king, Babylonians, Moabites, Philistines, and Egyptians. This young man had to go and speak out God's decrees to all these nations. And after all, who wanted to mess with them at that stage? Who wanted to get caught up in the politics of the nations of the world when you are a young man? Mark 3:14, we read that the Lord also appointed for himself 12 apostles so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. We also read in Luke 10:1 that the Lord has sent out 72 other apostles to go two in every town and preach the gospel. It's not a unique experience that Jeremiah experienced. No, the Lord sends out these people. Jeremiah had to go well outside his comfort zone. That is why he pleaded to be excused. Our sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child, verse 6. This will remind us about Moses in Sinai. When the Lord gave him his task to go back to Egypt, he said, oh, I don't know what to speak. It also reminds us of the response of Solomon. I'm only a child. The word youth or child referred to a boy or a young man. Some commentators say that Jeremiah was in his early 20s when the Lord called him. But Jeremiah did not only mean that he's young in age, but also in experience. He didn't have the training. He didn't have the personality or the character. By nature, he was soft-spoken, sensitive and tender, emotional and introspective, as we will read further in the book of Jeremiah. Surely the Lord could find a more suitable candidate for his purpose. But the Lord insisted and called him to be a prophet to the nations. Brothers and sisters, a prophet was someone who was called to speak the words of God. They were a spokesperson on behalf of God. Jeremiah had no choice, because in verse 7 the Lord said to him, you must go to everyone I send you, and you must say whatever I command you. So neither could Jeremiah decide not to go or decide what he would like to say. Everything came directly from the Lord himself. The Lord illustrates this for us in a wonderful way. In verse 9, the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I've put my words in your mouth." As a prophet, he would speak the words of God. He would pass on God's word to God's people and to the rest of the world, for that matter. As a prophet, he pointed beyond himself to the Lord Jesus and to the church, Jeremiah 31:31. In the same way as Moses did in Deuteronomy 18:15, where he said, "The Lord your God will raise up for yourself a prophet like me from among your brothers. Listen to him." Brothers and sisters, 1,500 years later, Jesus was born of the tribe of Judah in the line of David. Like the other prophets, he was anointed, but not with oil, but with the Holy Spirit. He came to be our chief prophet and teacher, who perfectly reveals to us the secret of God for our deliverance. He came to explain God's will for our lives. He came to explain God's purpose for all things. Today we need to listen to him as his words come to us in the scriptures. It is true that none of us are called to be prophets of God like that of Jeremiah. And now that Jesus has come, there is no further need for any other prophets, because God has spoken to us by his Son, Hebrews 1:2. And because God has revealed in the Bible all we need to know about salvation. But there is a sense in which all of us are prophets. If you are a Christian, you share in the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. You too have been anointed with the Holy Spirit, and you are called to confess the name of Jesus and to proclaim God's word and tell others about Jesus. This is the task that God gives all believers. Every one of us is a prophet called to declare the message about God to those around us. As well as this general task, the Lord also calls us to specific tasks. He gives each one of us a specific calling. The Reformers call this a vocation. Each one of us is called to serve the Lord in a specific place and in a number of roles. Have you found your vocation yet? How are you serving the Lord? What is God calling you to do? Are we fulfilling our tasks, or are we trying to put God off with excuses like, "I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too busy, I'm too tired, or it is risky, I might lose my job"? Be sure you hear the call of the Lord as it comes to you through his word and his providence and his church. Be sure you obey him and fulfill your calling to serve him. Jeremiah was called to be God's prophet. Secondly, we will see that he was given God's message. The message was summed up in verse 10. "See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." His message had a strong negative connection of destruction. The main message of his ministry was that of judgment. The Lord would uproot Israel from their land. He would tear down the temple, he would destroy Jerusalem, he would overthrow the nation because of their sin. Not a very popular message. But there was also a positive note. He would also build and plant. He promised a restoration. And are we not part of that restoration? His prophecies about the restoration looked beyond the return from exile to the new covenant that God would make with his people with the coming of the Messiah, Jeremiah 31:31. We have the privilege, brothers and sisters, of living in this time of the restoration, in this new covenant situation in which the Lord Jesus is building his kingdom and causing his church to grow throughout all the world. The Lord gave Jeremiah two illustrations. The one vision the prophet saw was that of the almond tree. In this vision, God wanted to emphasize that he would fulfill his word. The people of Judah needed this confirmation because they were more inclined to believe the false prophets who promised that all will go well with Israel. They were, after all, God's people. They were like the people of Peter's day and ours that says, "Where is this coming that the Lord has promised?" 2 Peter 3:4. The vision emphasized that God would watch to see that his word was fulfilled. The judgment would come. His word was certain. God would do as he had said. The other vision was of a boiling pot, no doubt a familiar sight in Israel. This one was tilting away from the north, indicating that the judgment of God would come through people coming from the north. This was a reference to the Babylonian Empire. They actually lived to the east of Israel, but had passed around the Arabian desert and therefore attacked from the north. And this, as history tells us, happened in the 11th year of King Zedekiah. The rival brothers and sisters of the Babylonian army was the proof of his prophecies of judgment on Judah. In verse 15, God gave an accurate and detailed description of what would happen when the Babylonians arrived. They'd take the city, set up their thrones at the city gates as the new rulers. And that's exactly what happened. The Lord appointed Jeremiah to bring a very sobering message to his people. He was God's prophet with God's message, and he could only fulfill such a task, thirdly, in God's strength. The Lord gave him an exhortation in verse 17. "Get yourself ready." Literally it reads, "Tighten the belt around your waist. Get ready for your task. Prepare yourself for action. Stand up and say whatever I command you." The Lord says this to you and to me as well. Get yourself ready. Are you ready to do whatever the Lord wants of you? Are you prepared to fulfill your task? Are you willing to serve the Lord Jesus in your calling, irrespective of the cost? The Lord also gave a warning in verse 17b. "Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them." When the Lord calls you to do something, you can't get out of it. You have to obey. There are serious consequences if we disobey such a call. Can you remember what happened to Jonah when he disobeyed God's call? The Lord urged Jeremiah to obey and not to be afraid of the people. The Lord also urged you and me today through the words of Matthew 10:28. "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear God who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Finally, brothers and sisters, the Lord also gave him encouragement. Jeremiah had reason to hesitate when the Lord called him. This was an extremely difficult assignment. His message would be unpopular. Most people would oppose him. He will have no friends. But the Lord promised to make him strong, like a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall to stand against the entire land. Verse 18. As we have seen, this wasn't Jeremiah's character. He was not the sort of person who would you pick for an assignment like that. But God promised to give him the strength and the courage. His enemies would be tough, but he would be tougher. His enemies would oppose him, but he would be resilient, immovable. The Lord promises me and this to me and you as well. When God calls, he will equip us. He'll give us the strength to do our tasks. He'll give us the courage to see it through. Not only that, but the Lord promised to be with him, verse 19. "They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you." That is the greatest promise anyone can have. This is what the Lord has promised to me and you as well. Think of that wonderful Psalm 46. The Lord God Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. These Old Testament promises were fulfilled again in Christ, who came into the world as Emmanuel, God with us. And even though he ascended to heaven, he still is with us. Matthew 28:20, and surely I'm always with you, even to the end, very end of the age. Brothers and sisters, God called Jeremiah to a specific task, to be a prophet of judgment. The Lord also calls us, through his word and spirit, to specific tasks and responsibilities. He calls us to be a prophet, declaring the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls us to obey him and serve him in every area of life. And he promises you strength to do this. No matter who opposes you, God will always be with you. Brothers, sisters, friend, go and fulfill your calling in his strength. Amen. Let's come to the Lord in a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a comforting message this morning from your word. Yes, Lord, that even when you place us in difficult situations, Lord, when you give us difficult tasks to perform, that you are with us. Yes, Lord, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, that you'll be with us till the end of time. Lord, what a wonderful principle we established in Scripture this morning, Lord, that it's you that give us the knowledge and the wisdom. Lord, it's you that open up opportunities. Yes, Lord, it's you that call. Heavenly Father, all you require from us is to be obedient and to walk the path that you want us to walk, irrespective of our fears, irrespective of our personalities, our character, Lord, irrespective of the excuses we may have. Lord, but you know us as people. Lord, how easily we get distracted, how easily we make excuses. Heavenly Father, not trust entirely on you. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that as this word sink in this morning, that in the same way as you worked with Jeremiah, Lord, so you work with us. We ask, Lord, that we'll find comfort in these words, Lord, and that we'll find our strength in the knowledge that it's you, the sovereign God, that rules. Thank you again, Lord, for calling us all out of darkness into your light. Heavenly Father, we ask that you encourage each and every one of us to take up the cross of Jesus and to follow him. Heavenly Father, where we fall short, we ask, Lord, that you encourage us, equip us. Your Lord, that through your Spirit you lift us up to take on this wonderful path that you've laid before us. Heavenly Father, our prayer this morning is that you will make us all Jeremiahs and not Jonahs. We pray in Jesus' name.